You're listening to a sermon from Lagos Baptist Church. Lagos exists by God's grace to reach our neighbors and the nations with the good news of Jesus Christ. You're invited to worship with us this Sunday morning. Sunday school meets at 9 a.m. and our worship service begins at 10 a.m. And now, today's message from God's Word.
May we find our all in Him. What a good word, Mr. Newton, great hymn writer. If you have a copy of God's Word, I invite you to turn to the New Testament letter of 1 Thessalonians. If you have been with us, you will not find that as a surprise at all. We structure our worship services to be just that, worship services. There's a great debate if you, or at least through seminary. I didn't know about that debate until I got to seminary, but you know, this divide, do we plan our worship services with believers in mind or unbelievers in mind? And there's a school of thought that, a wrong school of thought, that we do that with unbelievers in mind. You know, we're trying to make our message, our music, everything we do to be as appealing as possible to lost people. And that's a bad, wrong way of thinking, candidly. And so we structure what we do for, as we're supposed to, for God's people to come together and worship Him. And the regulative principle, we want to do that in the ways, even as has been prayed, that the way that God has prescribed. And so with that, we have this morning is such an encouraging word, but it's really for the family. And so if you're not part of the Lagos family, we're glad that you're here. Please don't leave. You will have misunderstood me completely, but it's almost like a family discussion. And so I'd say real simple, we've got to the point of the letter in 1 Thessalonians where he is exhorting them. By the way, that word we encountered last week, look at 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 1. Finally then, brethren, we request and exhort you in the Lord Jesus. And he's exhorting them to run the race well as Christians, to press on for Jesus, to excel. Look down at the end of verse 1, excel still more. And then at the end of verse 10 that we'll study this morning, we urge you, brethren, to excel still more. And here's what he's saying. You're doing a great job. You are doing a great job following Christ, being this. It's a young church and it's a healthy church, Thessalonica, at this point in time that he's writing the letter. This young, healthy church, you're doing well. But you know what? You can do better and excel still more. That's the overarching theme. And if I had to say, I like to summarize where we're going and then show you in the text that that's where we're going last week would be, hey, one of the ways that we need to make sure that we're pressing on for Christ is that we're growing in holiness. Remember, we looked there three times. Your sanctification, verse 3. Your sanctification, verse 4. Your sanctification, verse 7 of chapter 4. That we would be holy people. And in particular, holy, we should be holy in general. And holiness in particular. And one of the main fronts of attack that we're going to have is in being a people marked by sexual purity. People marked by sexual purity, to abstain from every form, any and all forms of sexual immorality. And this morning, the second area under that big tent, so that we would be holy people, and in particular people of sexual purity, is that we would love one another well. We would love one another well. So, again, you can mark me low if we're in an expository preaching class on creativity. But right there in verse 9, you'll see the sermon title, Love of the Brethren. So that is what this passage is about this morning. So if you're able, would you stand and I'll read our text for this morning and I'll pray and we will unpack this wonderful, wonderful passage together. The word of the Lord from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 9. Now as to the love of the brethren, you have no need for anyone to write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another, for indeed you do practice it toward all the brethren who are in all Macedonia. But we urge you, brethren, to excel still more, and to make it your ambition to lead a quiet life, and attend to your own business and work with your hands just as we commanded you, so that you will behave properly toward outsiders and not be in any need. Word of the Lord, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, for your word. Lord, we thank you for your general revelation that we look around at creation and we see you so clearly. So we're grateful for your general revelation. We're especially grateful for your special revelation that you have spoken clearly in the Bible. We thank you that your word reveals Jesus so clearly. Thank you that he is our Savior and our Lord. We thank you for who he is, and we thank you for what he has done. And it's because of Jesus that we are believers, Lord, your grace, what you have done for us in Christ. We thank you for your spirit, Lord. I'm mindful, even so clearly revealed in your word, Lord, that this morning you're not far away, you're near. And I pray that your spirit would guide us into truth and you would instruct us exactly according to what you have said in this passage. Lord, not more, not less. I pray that my words, my tone, Lord, everything would be governed by your spirit and that you would do within us, Lord, the work, the internal work that needs to be done, so we'll be more like Jesus and we'll be a church that's more like Christ and more useful to you, God, for your glory, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Love of the brethren. And so you see that, by the way, it's a familiar word. Look there in verse 9 of chapter 4, as to the love of the brethren. If you were reading that in Greek, you'd just read Philadelphia. Philadelphia. And we bring that over, and Philadelphia, you just pause and say, that's a regardless of gender, love for one another in the family. God placed me in the family. I was born as the only son of Tom Anderson and Irene Anderson, and God gave me three wonderful sisters, June, Mary, and Pam. I love June was, well, I probably don't need to get into what years people were born. That's probably not cool to do to your sisters. So June's oldest, and then Mary, and then me, and then Pam. So two older, one younger. See how I'm learning as I go. Like, learn, got to be, I want to learn like a bird dog training me, huh? So I have a special love for June and Mary and Pam that just in a special way. You go, well, duh, they're your sisters. And that, duh, is the sermon this morning. If you're in Christ, you're in God's family, and if you're in Christ, you will love the other folks in God's family. And by the way, something you ought to be working at and getting better and better. I ought to be working at. So that's really the sermon. That's the central theme. The love of the brethren, and by the way, we work in these circles. We should have the closest love for Christians that are, you know, the brothers and sisters at Logos. And then Christians in general, listen, the Bible's clear, we're supposed to just love everybody, lost people. But those circles, right, that build out from there. So let's get to it. Love of the brethren. Number one is a divine work God does in us when we are born again. Love of the brethren is a divine work that God does in us when we are born again. Look at verse 9. I want you to see this is something God does. And let me be really, really clear. Let's be assessing ourselves. We hope and believe and trust. We've invited and asked the Spirit of God to be working in our hearts and assessing us. But love of the brethren is not something you can pull yourself up by the bootstraps and accomplish. If it's not present there, we need to go back to evangelism. Because if you and I, if we don't love the brethren, we are not in the faith. We're not Christian people. So we don't disciple. You know, it's not like, hey, Mr. So-and-so is really mean, ugly, and hateful. He needs to be discipled more. No, he needs to be evangelized, and he needs to hear the good news of Jesus and place his faith in Christ on and be baptized by immersion and declare to the world that he's a new creature. You're going to see this. Look, right here, verse 9. This reality that it's a divine work God does in us when we are born again. Verse 9. As to the love of the brethren, you have no need for anyone to write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. I love this. He says, y'all don't need a letter to love each other. But then what does he do? Writes them a letter. That's interesting to me. Isn't that a complimentary, beautiful way? Y'all don't need a letter to grow in this. You really, really don't. But you need to do this. I look, but that's not the main point to this reality that love of the brethren is a divine work God does in us when we are born again. So a couple things I want you to see. Verse 9, as to the love of the brethren. Now that word, brothers and sisters, those people who are in Christ. So he's not writing to everybody that lives in Thessalonica, this letter is for you. This letter is not for all of Thessalonica. 19 times in the letter, Paul reminds them that they are brethren. Look at this. Turn to, this is just so cool to me. Look at chapter 2, verse 1. For you yourselves know, brethren. Okay? Turn over to chapter 2, verse 9. For you recall, brethren, our labor and hardship. Drop down to verse 17 of chapter 2. But we, brethren, having been taken away from you for a short while. It just keeps on going. Drop down to chapter 3, verse 7. For this reason, brethren, in all our distress and affliction, we were comforted about you through your faith. Drop down to chapter 4, verse 1. Finally then, brethren. Verse 9, chapter 4. As to the love of the brethren. Verse 10, for indeed you do practice it toward all the brethren who are in Macedonia, but we urge you, brethren, to excel still more. Chapter 4, verse 13, next week, but we do not want you to be uninformed. Brethren. And so this beautiful reality that part of our salvation is being born into God's family and then, listen, being gifted by God to love other Christians. The Bible's clear. This presence, it would be like, you know, we go have our blood work done. It is a birthmark. A birthmark. If you're a Christian, you will love other Christians. Now that is a really, really important point. I wish I'd had that more top of mind in some of my ministry struggles. That explains some things, doesn't it? It explains some encounters that we have. And by the way, you know, don't test me on this. You know, at the door, if instead of shaking my hand, you punch me in the nose, right? That wouldn't be cool. I'm not encouraging you to try that. But my response would be telling, wouldn't it? Wouldn't my response be telling? Now, if I love you, I'm going to be constrained that I don't just have one of our security team members drop you right then and there. You know, like shoot him in the knee, you know, kind of. Right, but it is a birthmark. It is part of being in God's family. It is not something we can work up and get the, it can't, has to be there. Taught by God. Look at verse 9. I want you to see this. Here's proof in our passage, by the way. We'll talk about John in a minute, but John writing in 1 John, as our brother read over and over and over again in 1 John, this theme comes up. But look at verse 9. As to the love of the brethren, you have no need for anyone to write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. This is where the beginning of love of the brethren has to begin. It has to begin by response of God teaching us, priming us, changing us to be able to do that. The world is not even able to love the brethren. By the way, Isaiah picks up on this. God promised in the Old Testament that when the Messiah came, God would teach all believers. And part of the instruction is not, hey, we'll know deep theological truths. Yeah, praise the Lord, we'll be able to understand truth. But part of the birth is that we would just listen. We sort of wake up from being born and we look around and we see other people that are Christians. And if we, in fact, are saved people, we will have a genuine love for them. Listen to this from Isaiah 54, taught by God. O afflicted one, storm-tossed, and not comforted. Listen, this day is coming. Behold, I will set your stones in antimony, and your foundations I will lay in sapphires. Moreover, I will make your battlements of rubies, and your gates of crystal, and your entire wall of precious stones. All your sons will be taught of the Lord. Isaiah is saying, there's coming a day when Messiah comes that you'll get your teaching directly, individuals, from God himself. And the well-being of your sons will be great. Listen to what Jesus said, John 6. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. Here's what I'll say. No one, I will make application. No one can love the brethren unless God replaces our heart of stone and gives us a heart of flesh and enables us to do that. So no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. It is written in the prophets. Look, he quotes Isaiah. And they shall all be taught of God. Taught of God. Paul, verse 9. For you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. It's a divine work that God does in us. Praise the Lord that God has birthed us and blessed us to be able to love one another. And by the way, this is one of the key tests for our church, this passage this morning, on how great a church we will be in God's kingdom. It's pretty profound. The degree to which, as to the love of the brethren, you have no need for anyone to write you. Listen, he would say, but I am writing you. For you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. But he doesn't stop there. So I love this. Love of the brethren is a divine work God does in us when we're born again. Number two, but it's something we are called to work at. God puts the seed there. God produces the initial work. And then I'm going to show you this is so beautiful in the text. Let's get a running start. Verse 9. As to the love of the brethren, you have no need for anyone to write to you. For you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. For indeed, you do practice it. And by the way, look, they're not just local. You practice it toward all the brethren who are in all Macedonia, all those surrounding sister churches, their reputation. This young church, healthy church at Thessalonica, is they're loving their brothers and sisters in a wide area. Next sentence, but we urge you, brethren, to excel still more. He's moved now from what God has done. We don't say, hey, praise the Lord, since love of the brethren is a divine work God does in it when we're born again, I'm going to go lay down under the shade tree. God's got that taken care of. That's not how it works. Since he's done that, Paul says now, get to work. We urge you, brethren, to excel still more. So I would say point one is, here's what God does. Praise the Lord. Point two is, here's what we've now got to do or get to do. I would say, praise the Lord, we can do. I love this. It's so good. Indeed, you do practice it. So think about this. I'm doing some weight training, like three times a week, trying to lift weights. It sounds like it's really, really good for you. But if you go in there, okay, I mean, it's just option A. How strong will you be? If you never go to the gym and do strength training, you'll have some strength, won't you? Right? And for all those years until I started doing weight training, I got around. But if you go to the gym, you know, early while it's dark, three mornings a week, you do, which one will be stronger? Here's what Paul is saying. If you want to love the brethren the way God has designed and called and commanded us, put in the holy sweat. Excel still more. Practice it. Do it. And by the way, you're not going to be surprised. I love this. God's word. Here's how our passage breaks down. It's like, here's what God's done. Got it? Here's what you are to do. And look, the next point I'm going to show you is, here's how you do it. That's pretty simple. It's like, even a dummy like me could figure that out. That's just right there. Put the cookies low for me, isn't it? I love this. Excel still more. So, something we have the ability to work at and improve upon. So, if we looked around, and I don't think we're equipped to do this, we said, okay, if we're going to judge love of the brethren at Lagos, clearly God can do that. But if we wanted to do that, We couldn't say, let's say our, you know, whatever our score came back at, God knows our score. We couldn't look at that and say, well, God just didn't, we couldn't say this. He hasn't blessed us with a great measure of love of the brethren. That won't cut it. Here's what he would say. If it's not where it ought to be, you're not doing like you ought to do. You, me and you, right? Love of the brethren. Third, here's how. It's cultivated in the body of Christ in some surprising ways. Love of the brethren is cultivated, grows up. Like this time of year, you're planting stuff. Praise the Lord for that rain he sent us. Wasn't that wonderful? More coming into the week. They're telling us God will get the final word on that. But it's cultivated. Love of the brethren is cultivated in the body of Christ in some surprising ways. Now, here's what I'm going to show you. It's surprising. I'm about to surprise you. I've really got some curveballs for you here. Here's what he's going to say. I do this frequently. I think this is good biblical counseling. If we're not careful when we think about love of the brethren, we think about, yep, here's what these people need to know. And you'll think, hey, here's what all these people need to know. No, here's what I would say. Love of the brethren, draw the circle and do what? Get in it. What I'm about to preach to us has nothing to do with your brother or sister sitting to your left or right. It's like how we, and here's what he's going to show us. There are some things we can do as individuals. Now, y'all pay attention to this. That greatly erode love of the brethren at Lagos. There's some things I can do and you can do that greatly erode, you know, put holes in the bucket for love of the brethren to run out. And by the way, it's really, really surprising what he says. So let's look at this. So it's cultivating the body of Christ in some surprising ways. I have a hard time just starting in the middle of the sentence. So go back to verse 9 and I'll highlight. We're going to verse 11. As to the love of the brethren, you have no need for anyone to write to you. For you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. For indeed you do practice it toward all the brethren who are in Macedonia. But we urge you, brethren, to excel still more. And we get these three infinitives. Make it your ambition to lead a quiet life. A, it's cultivated in the body of Christ, first of all, by us living quiet, humble lives. By the way, Paul didn't know anything about Facebook, did he? Quiet and humble. Facebook, I don't think the, hey, get Facebook so you'll be quiet and humble. Like, no, no, no. You haven't seen Red Snapper until I post the Red Snapper that I'm about to eat. Did you post that? Because I don't touch the food. Why? Because I'm living a quiet, humble life. I want everybody to see what I'm eating. By the way, we stopped at the rest area. Do we need to know that? No, that's the culture we're in. What are you doing at the rest area? Taking a picture. Well, you can do that without telling 1,000 people. Our whole culture. Look at me, look at me, look at me. Here's what the Bible says. Look, try to be invisible. That's convicting, isn't it? Countercultural. David, preach a relevant text, okay? You want us to love one another well? Lead quiet lives. I like how Phillips translated this. We urge you to make it your ambition to have no ambition. How about that? Make it your ambition to have no ambition. To just blend in the crowd. Be a nothing and a nobody. Go for that. All God's people said. It got quiet, didn't it? You wait till I get to B. We listen. I asked Stephen. I thought, we got to sing this. We want to grow in it. He's going to lay us low. The text, about early in the week, I was like, this lays us low. Because we think like, here's what we think like. Yeah, it comes up so many times. I don't know how many times I've been counseling people. And it's almost like, the church needs to do more for me. The church has not stepped up for me. Can I tell you, that is the most unbiblical way of thinking. And Paul said, you know what? Y'all have got love of the brethren in you because God, listen, put it in you. Work at now growing it and maximizing it. And step one in working it, how do you do that? Take yourself down notch after notch after notch. Live a quiet, humble life. Quiet, humble. Now that is not American, is it? I like what this quote from the Baker Exegetical Commentary. In other words, the refusal of some of the church to work so that they're putting a burden. We're going to get to this idleness in a minute. But instead of, listen, contributing to, they were taking from. And so one of the things, I think of each one of these points, if there are things we can do that can erode love in the church, being loud and proud erodes love in the church. Loud and proud pulls down the bar, pulls down the love of the brethren. Listen, instead of creating sweet love, causes rough tension. A, by us living quiet, humble lives. Are you ready? Ready? Here goes B. It's cultivating the body of Christ in some surprising ways. B, by us minding our own business. If it was quiet after A, it's quieter. Mind your own business. Look at the text. This is not, you know what it means in the Greek? Mind your own business. Yeah, it's the Septuagint. Look at this. Look, we urge you, brethren, to excel still more and make it your ambition. So, God, how? We're like, God, you've by grace blessed us to be able to love each other, and we do. And we want to grow. How do we do that, God? Make it your ambition, lead a quiet life. Look, and attend to your own business. Don't be a busybody. Don't stick your nose in other people's business. Don't tell people don't tell them your opinions, how they need to raise their kids. You know, I feel like here's how you need to educate your kids. Let me tell you what you're doing. You're knocking love of the brethren out of the body when you do that. Let me tell you what you need to do in that situation. Here, I like what Matthew Henry said. Christians should study how to be quiet. It's like just so practical. And we would think like love of the brethren. Here's how we might have written it. You know, if it was unbiblical, it's like these people out here just need to be more lovable. Because I want to love them. And if they'll clean themselves up and be more lovable, I'm on it. No. Paul says, draw the circle, get in it. Be really, really humble. Think less of yourself, more of Jesus, more of others. And by the way, keep your nose out of other people's business. It's not your business. That's pretty, I don't mean it's bad. I don't have a hold of it. That's pretty clear, isn't it? Mind your own business. Busybodies who gave unsolicited advice to members. If someone wants your counsel, they'll ask. I mean, this just puts in, now, by the way, how many of you, I'm not talking about like just in general, how many of you have been offended at some point in life with people getting into your business? I'm going to go ahead and vote. Like, y'all not even playing. Y'all are lying, lying, lying. Deal with that before the supper. All right, just deal with it. Because week six, I'll have a busy week next week, you know. By us minding our own business. And by the way, those of us, we're people of the word at Lagos. And by the way, people of the word oftentimes have strong. My dad, he's in heaven. God bless him. He's the most opinionated joker you've ever met. He had some issues, three opinions on one matter, you know. So I grew up, Stephanie was unnerved when she started dating and me and coming in our family, man. It's like, y'all just have these knockdown dragouts, but we wanted everything to be first order. You know what? We're going to have to work at this. If the Bible's talking about something, man, go for it. So you're not saying, hey, let's compromise the Bible. No, let's stand firm on the Bible. But a lot of the stuff that we offend people with, that's our opinion. And Paul would say, keep it to yourself, sister, brother, David, you, me, right? This is, I feel convicted. Any of y'all feel convicted? And by the way, I don't even think Paul has an email address, if you can tell him how, you know. So by us minding our own business. See, got to go fast. So what we're pressing in on this third point. How does it grow up in the body of Christ? While by us living quiet, humble lives, by us minding our own business. See, by us working hard to provide for our own needs. Look at verse 11. Make it your ambition to lead a quiet life, attend to your own business, and work with your hands. Look, he said, we taught you this when we were there planting the church, just as we commanded you. And so there's an issue in Thessalonica, because it's referenced in 1 Thessalonians and 2 Thessalonians, of idleness, those who were being idle, people who were able to work and were not working. They were idle people, lazy people. And by the way, it might or might not have been related to how they thought about Jesus' return. But the bottom line, listen, able-bodied people were not working. And I'm like, is this not a message our country needs to hear? Right? Well, the church needs to hear it first by us working hard to provide for our own needs. And you just, again, it's just really, really simple. Mind your own business, attend to your own business, and work with your hands. So, I'm so thankful for the home I grew up in. My dad, he's like, you gonna live in this house, you're not gonna be a freeloader. The Anderson house is not the welfare system. How many of y'all heard good stuff like that growing up? Early in the morning, before school, y'all heard it? Maybe I'm the only one who's blessed with that kind of stuff. No freeloading. Here's what Paul would say. The body of Christ, I don't need to come into the body of Christ freeloading, trying to get something from you, from the church. I need to work really, 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 really hard so I never have to ask the church to do anything. I need to take care of myself if I can so we can take care of those people in the body who have real needs, real needs. So every time we turn around, I don't need to be like, well, I could work or I could ask the church. I think I'll ask. No, Paul said, quit. You go work with your own hands. And I still say, I told you, surprising ways, none of this is how our world, you know, Hallmark would not like Paul. Because we're going to grow love of the brethren. We have this lady out growing, you know, pumpkins, and the guy come in, and he's shopping for pumpkins, and he wants to buy a bunch of pumpkins, and she swept over. He's out of town. She didn't know there was a money. You know, it'd be like, where's the warm and fuzzies, Paul? Paul's like, be humble. Get your nose out of other people's business and work hard. And all God's people said, amen. That's just good. I love it. I love it. So it's just so doable. So listen, as Christians, we're to demonstrate joyful, enthusiastic work ethic. We're supposed to be at work on time. Stay to the end of the shift. Do our work joyfully. Not cut corners. Not be unaccountable. All these ways. And listen, he's not writing this hypothetically, but because there were Christians at Thessalonica who had a problem in this area. They were being lazy. And it was hurting the church. My work ethic or lack thereof will help or harm this church. The degree that I mind my own business or not will help or harm this church. The degree with which I'm humble and quiet or loud and proud will help or harm Lagos Baptist Church. That's just profound. And by the way, something every one of us can work on. One of the ways we love our brothers and sisters is working hard to provide for our own needs and the needs of our family and not taking advantage of our brothers and sisters' generosity. It's profound. Got to get done. Number four, still talking about love of the brethren, is used by God to produce powerful fruit in our lives. Love of the brethren is used by God to produce powerful fruit in our lives. I never could say point four like I wanted to is much better than I'm saying it. But look at verse 12. So in verse 11, make it your ambition, lead a quiet life, attend to your own business, work with your hands, just as we commanded you. So he said, I taught you that before. Look at this. So that you will behave properly toward outsiders.
Listen to this. If we're not doing those three things he commanded us, guess what it does to our witness? On the authority of the Word of God, Paul's saying, a nosy Christian hurts gospel witness. A lazy Christian hurts the witness of Jesus. A loud and proud Christian hurts the witness of Jesus. Look at this. So you will behave toward outsiders. That's not like, hey, there are people who, you know, there are Christians who meet inside and those who out. No. Outsiders are lost people. That means lost people look at us, and here's what, how God's wired the world. Here's how we can advance Jesus's cause. Lost people look at church people, Christian people, and if we are loving each other well, and we do that by being quiet and humble, by not being nosy, by not being lazy, when they see us living that out well, it makes the aroma of Jesus sweeter to a watching world. How about that? Hey, we need to have a crusade. Maybe our crusades have been less effective because we have not done these things. Well, if we could get the right speaker, you know, we need a dynamic speaker. And we need a great singer. If we got a great singer and a dynamic speaker, people would get saved. And I think Paul would say, hey, there in Thessalonica, God's got a people, and if y'all will represent Christ the way he's called you to and love each other the right way, God will take care of the rest. That's really, really profound. So that you will behave properly, that's just one of the promises, so that you will behave properly toward outsiders. And then look at this, not be in any need. If we'll do what God's told us to do and not be idle and we'll love each other well, guess what God will do? He'll provide what we need. That's just what a promise. So it's used by God to bring this powerful fruit in our lives, a great witness, and that we would have our needs met. So God uses the world is watching, right? The world is watching is what the end of that passage says. All right, let's apply it couple ways before we have the supper. By the way, let me speak of the supper. Let's be examining ourselves, in particular in the ways love of the brethren. As to the love of the brethren, you have no need for anyone to write to you. You do practice it. We urge you to excel still more. So God, grow us. How are we doing in these ways? Quiet life. Our own business. Working with our hands. What a great, great, before we proclaim our faith in Jesus until he comes. Work on us. Or any sin in general. So doing the word. Let's summarize. Give thanks to God for the love of the brethren he has cultivated in the Logos body. God, we thank you. I don't mean this bad. I have been a part of some great churches, but I have never been a part of anything like how God in recent years has knit us together in love in a church family. I'm grateful for that. I want that to grow, right? So give thanks to God for the love of the brethren he has cultivated in the Logos body. Second, work to grow to better love each other. Work to grow to better love each other. You know, I think about how we do, I think in the normal relationship sphere. So Steffi and I have been married for, March was 35 years. How many of y'all, and this old, this will get the strongest amen, how many of y'all think I've ever done anything in 35 years that got on Stephanie's nerves? Yeah, like, put that woman on your prayer list. Whew. Yeah, like, God bless her. God bless her. Pray. Lord, how does she do that? I don't know. But what if the first time I got on her nerves, she just like left. I'm talking about left. That would have been sad and tragic, wouldn't it? You'd have been like, well, she didn't really what? She didn't love him. I get on her nerves, and she still loves me. How about that? Do you think people in a church family, I mean, you have to say God's put some crazy uncles in church families, hasn't he? I'm not going to name names. I'm not, because we're about to have the supper. And some crazy uncles and cousins in the church family are hard to love. I mean, the spiritual gift of saying the wrong thing at the wrong time. You just rub you the wrong. What's God trying to do? Let me tell you what God is doing. He's making us into the image of Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? So Lord, this morning, we want to work to grow better, to grow, to better love each other. Third, work on ourselves to be quiet, to mind our own business, and to be diligent workers. Work on ourselves to be quiet, to mind our own business, and be diligent workers. And then, praise the Lord, we have the victory. Fourth, rejoice in Jesus, who has purchased victory for us on the cross. Y'all, we're trying to make progress, but we have victory in Jesus. Oh, victory in Jesus. We have the victory. And so what would it say about my love for Jesus if I said, Jesus, thank you for loving me. Thank you for saving me by grace, but I'm not going to love Kirk. You go like, I do love Kirk. He knows that. I pick on a whole bunch of you, right? I love you. But you would say, you don't know Jesus if you're not loving Kirk. You really don't. And by the way, John, he said that. Hey, I love God. I just don't love my brother. John said, you're a liar. Why are you lying? You're not even, this is what John said, you're not even saved. This is a ponder passage. I don't mean it's bad. We love the brethren, but God searches this morning. If that love is not there, save us. And if that love is there, grow us, is what our passage would exhort us. Rejoice in Jesus. He has purchased the victory for us on the cross. Amen. All right, we're going to deacons. Would you, I'll give some instructions. Would you head this way if you're serving the supper? We're about to transition to the Lord's Supper, and this is prescribed by the Lord Jesus that we would celebrate, that we'd remember and celebrate Christ's finished work, his victory, until Christ comes back. So we joyfully remember and we joyfully celebrate. We invite all Lagos Church family who... all members in good standing, at this point all are, we know of. We also invite other believers who have been obedient. They've placed their faith in Christ alone. They've been obedient to be baptized by immersion. And they're members of sister churches with similar faith and practice. We invite you to the table as well. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, we thank you so much for Jesus. Lord, our boast, our only boast is in him. We thank you for how you have blessed us, how you have birthed us and blessed us to. Lord, we have been loved by you. Love originates with you, and to be loved by you, therefore to be able to love you and to be able to love our brothers and sisters. Thank you for that great blessing and gift. Lord, we oftentimes have been passive to that gift, that we haven't worked at it. And Lord, help us to excel still more. Grow us to be a quiet people, to be a people who is not busybodies or nosy or speaking unsolicited advice. To help us to mind our own business. Help us not to be a lazy people, Lord, not to be an idle people. Lord, we're convicted when we read your word, and we thank you that Jesus bore our sins in his body on the cross. Thank you that Jesus ran his race perfectly, and you're pleased to credit his perfect righteousness to us and count our sins against his
account and them paid in full on the cross. Thank you that he rose from the dead, that the tomb is empty. Thank you that he ascended back to heaven. Thank you that he is reigning on his throne. And thank you that he will return bodily for us. Help us to be, we studied an exhortation, help us to be a faithful people, a Jesus-loving people, people who gives an accurate witness with our lives to the difference that that Jesus makes. Pray for our body. Pray as we participate in the supper, have communion, Lord, that we do so in a worthy manner. I pray that you would grow us, Lord, in our love for you and our love for each other. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon from Lagos Baptist Church. To learn more about Lagos, to plan a visit, or to reach out to our pastoral staff, visit us online at lagosdothan.org. We hope you'll join us in person this coming Sunday at Lagos Baptist Church.